The series I've been preaching is entitled, Mark My Words. It is based on the book of Mark. And I'm going to come apart here for a second as I was listening to the music. I want you to know there's something very interesting about Mark. Mark My Words. That means listen to what I have to say. I have something very important to say. Mark is different. Because in the very first chapter, bam, he hits us with the beauty and the majesty and the power of our God. And he captures it like none of the other Gospels. And so we're now receiving great benefit from Mark My Words. For Mark has seen the emotion of the God that we serve. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know no matter what you're facing, what trial you have, what situation you're in, I want you to know that God knows and He's there. You're not alone. You may feel like it, but you're not alone. And so right away in the book of Mark, He gives a 24-hour period that blows our mind. And we found out that the first thing He did was He healed a devil-possessed man at the temple. The second thing He did was then He went to Simon and Andrew's house to eat. And Simon's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus healed her. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, Tale of Two Cities, first of all, we saw that the people came to the door at sunset, the whole town, and Jesus was up to the wee hours of the morning ministering to the needs of those people until it says in the Desire of Ages, the last person was healed. And now we're going to continue that story. Before we do, let me pray. And then we're going to look at Mark. Father, we come before You because You're a great God. I'm sitting here fumbling a little bit because I wish I had the grasp of a vocabulary that could reach the moon. For how in the world do we describe such a wonderful God as You? It's very difficult. And now I pray in the remaining moments of this Sabbath worship service, You would anoint me from on high to share the simple thoughts that You gave to me. That You want us to know, Lord, and that You would speak through me in spite of my weaknesses and faults, so that we will all be blessed and we will leave here changed. Blessed to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark, the very first chapter. Mark chapter 1, where we find the story that we've been talking about. The title is A Long While Before Daylight. And now let's try to absorb this, for it is incredible. Do you have Mark, the first chapter? Children, open your Bibles, please. I want you to follow along and see this great God that invites us to come to His house one day a week at least, in order to pay to Him the respect and homage and worship that He deserves. And so Mark, the first chapter, we'll pick the story up at verse 35. This is right after He was up almost all night long healing the people. Now look what it says in verse 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Whoa, is this mind-boggling? Hold on here a minute. In the temple, He cast out a demon and taught. At Peter's house, He healed his in-law. And then He spent the whole night healing the townspeople. Wait a minute here. Let me reread this. Am I sure of this? Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. man, I just have the hardest time dealing with this. Have you ever said, I'm too tired to do something? All of you who are in the health work especially, or a teacher, know how difficult it is to do your occupation. Jesus did it all day long on the Sabbath, which we call a day of rest. And then all night long, because the whole town came out. And what do we find Jesus doing before the sun comes up? When he left Peter's house, I can hear the snores of all the disciples. And they never heard the door open as Jesus exited a long while before daylight. Now, just in case you're tempted to think this is a misprint, I want to show you the wording here in the Greek in this chapter. It says in my Bible, in the morning. And that word is proe. It means at dawn, by implication, now catch this, the daybreak watch. In the Greek, it means the daybreak watch. The daybreak watch for the Jewish culture was 3 in the morning till 6 o'clock. And so when it says, when the verse says here, in the morning, it means sometime during this, what did I just tell you? The daybreak watch. Okay, let's keep picking this apart. It says, in the morning, he had risen a long while. That word is, how in the world did I get there? Oh, I guess they're all there. Leon is that word in the Greek. It means much. So, in the morning, much, or exceedingly, or greatly, or a long while. See, they're leaving no doubt in our mind that it's dark when Jesus gets up. And then it says, before daylight. And the word for daylight, I keep making the same mistake, is enoukion. Enoukion means by night before day. Why are we going through all of this? I'll tell you why. When you look at it, the wording is beautiful here in the New King James when it says, having risen a long while before daylight. What a God we serve, folks. He was so exhausted and worn out and so given out that he got up when the rest were still sleeping. And where did he go? Where did he go? He went to a solitary place to pray. Eremos. Eremos means desert, desolate, solitary, wilderness. And so we look at this, we are confronted with something about prayer that maybe we've missed before. That prayer is so important, it's more important than sleep. And of course, thanks to the spirit of prophecy as well as the Bible, we discover the reason for that is that in prayer, we receive energy. Now, that can't be explained by scientists. But it's true. How do I know? Because Jesus got up a long while before daylight and went to pray because he was so exhausted, he needed prayer. And so we're confronted with, first of all, that the Savior, though perfectly holy, regarded the duty of secret prayer as of great importance. It was a necessity. It was something he could not afford to avoid or practice. And how in line with Scripture is it when in his inaugural address, or when Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4:6, he simply stated it this way: be anxious for nothing. And I really like when it says be anxious for nothing, because you and I know that we have now in our society are so stressed that the word anxiety is a common everyday occurrence in some people's life to the point where it's debilitating. And Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but instead, I got an idea for you. But in everything, pray. Make supplication to God. Now these are men, Jesus, Paul. We could go on and look at some of the other women and men in the Bible who had a close relationship with God, and it was absolutely essential that they prayed. They couldn't go without it. If they did, it was to their detriment. So a long while before dark, after a day, listen, I would have passed out and you would have had to blow up a bomb at my ear to wake me up. But Jesus woke up. In fact, we're going to find out how He woke up in a second. Be anxious for nothing, my friend, but in prayer and supplication, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Check this out. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It keeps you from going nuts. And I'll tell you what's missing in this world today is peace. Why do you think drug and alcohol have such an, and the pornography on the internet and have such a pull on people? They are trying to get anesthetized because they're so stressed. Because only peace comes from God. And Paul now connects it directly to prayer. And Jesus forgoes sleep and gets up a long while before daylight in order to pray, because his tank was empty. So the first thing we learn here by looking, Mark is saying to us, mark my words, prayer is absolutely essential if you're a Christian. It is not something that's a good idea or a good suggestion. Number two, he sought a solitary place to do it, far away from the world and even his disciples. Yeah, they didn't even know. Like I said, there was a whole lot of snoring going on. I wonder, do you ever take your cell phone and put it off to the side and go into another room to pray? Or do you bring it with you? See, that's why I showed you the Greek word. There's no mistake that the translators put that in there to sound really good. That word relegates us to the understanding that he went where no one else was. And so take a look what he said in his inaugural address to the Israelites. Not working. Okay, this shows you how important this sermon is. Because Satan certainly doesn't like it. In his inaugural address, Jesus in the middle, chapter 6, addressed abundantly the issue of prayer. And notice what he said. He said, and I love this, he said, but when you pray. See, first, he contrasts that with what the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, they go in public and they walk around. Oh, God, I am so glad for my position. I'm a very important person. And they go on and they go on and they go on. And then Jesus says, but when you pray, I want you to go in your closet. I want you to shut the door and I want you to pray to your Father who hears in what?
Secret.
And if you do, He will reward you openly. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? For we're convinced here through Mark, as he asks us to mark his word, that this is something that can't be avoided. Look, do not tell me you don't know how to pray. Don't tell me that you don't know what to say. Then go and be quiet. And open your Bible in that quiet and read Scripture to God. And when you do, thoughts will come to your mind, and then tell God what came to your mind. Somebody once asked me, I do know how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. You know, I'm a convert from Catholicism, and from the very beginning I prayed, and now I travel around. They say, "Will you come and talk on prayer?" Yes, I'll come and talk on prayer. Oh, what book can I read, or what should I do for my prayer? How can I have? I told them, pray. You want to have better prayers? Pray. And God will help you figure it out as long as you keep practicing it. And then sure, you can grab a book or two and read what they have to say and incorporate that or use that or utilize it. But the real way to learn how to pray is to just do it. And I don't know why or how, but God impressed me, and so I just did it. Folks said Jesus would forego sleep at a time when you and I would have said, "Shh, the Master's sleeping. Leave him alone. Look what he did all day yesterday and last night." And they'll go, and the sun comes up. "Where is he?" "Well, I don't know where he is." "He's not in his bed?" "No, he's not in his bed." A long while before daylight, Jesus snuck out because his batteries were drained. His spiritual life was eaten up. His power waned. He needed a refill. And he got up and he went to pray. We also learned the third thing, and that is that it was early in the morning. Now, some of you are going to stone me after the meeting, after this sermon, and I understand that's okay. The first thing after rising, always the best time, and the time when it should not be omitted. I'm not a morning person. Then go to bed earlier. Why? Because everything I read suggests that after sleep is the best time to pray. Why? Because if you wait till a later time, your head will begin filling with the world, its activities, its cares and concerns, and it's harder to fit it in after than before. And besides, during prayer is when you get the power to deal with all this junk. So I'm going to be dogmatic here. And I'm going to say that really and truly getting out of bed is the best time to pray. Well, what does the Bible have to say? Here's what the Bible says, Isaiah 50, verse 4. This is an incredible text, and I can give you a challenge. If you take that challenge, you'll find out. Maybe some of you already have. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Now, we have to look closely at this scripture, and we see that in Isaiah wrote it it says, the Lord God has given me is capitalized. Now, my English taught me that was a pronoun. You don't capitalize pronouns. Unless I discovered it refers to Jesus. The Lord God has given Jesus the tongue of the learned. Really? When? That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He, God, wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as to learn. How could Jesus get up early in the morning, a long while before daylight, after the exhausting 24-hour period of ministering to sin-sick people? The Father woke him up. It's time, Jesus. And Jesus got up. And by the way, praise the Lord. Because when God wakes you up in the morning, you have a choice. You can stay in bed or you can get up. And take it from me, sometimes you don't get up. But Jesus did. In spite of the fact that everyone here would cut him slack for what he had accomplished the day before. The Father said, it's time to get out there. I need to talk to you and you need to talk to me. And so he went and he found a place where no one else was so that he could concentrate. He did not bring his cell phone with him. So my friends, I wonder how many of you tried this, where you went to bed at night and say, Lord, wake me up when you want me to get up. I challenge you to do it if you've never done it. But watch out. He'll wake you up. Because the Father is waiting to hear from the sons and daughters of His. And when He doesn't, He is greatly disappointed. So mark my words, Mark is saying to us, this is an incredible insight to my spiritual well-being that I discovered when I heard the stories of Jesus. I had to forego talking about His birth and about His younger years like Matthew and Mark and Luke wrote. I just couldn't help but go right to the character of Him. He healed a demonic person. Even the demons obey Him. And what's amazing is even the demons recognize who He is. I want you to hear this. And then after all of that, He got up a long while before daylight to pray. Man, prayer must be really important. Now he'd look at me with his gray beard and his bald head. And he'd say, Peter, it's a necessity. I learned that from Jesus. Well, the last thing is, if Jesus prayed, I need the next slide. If Jesus prayed, how much more is it necessary for us? Have you ever noticed Psalms 109:4? I love this. This is one of those simple tests that you can pass right by and maybe not even catch it. Here's what Jesus said through the psalmist in Psalm 109, he said, in return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. And do you know what that phrase means? This is very interesting to me. It means that I give myself unto prayer. In the Hebrew would mean, but I prayer. I prayer. That is, I am a man of prayer, or I partake myself in prayer. Well, now we all know who it's talking about here. In return for my love, they are my accusers. That's Jesus. And by the way, we've experienced that, haven't we? Each one of us here, as a Christian, where people turn on us because Satan gets into them to try to get us to quit, to give up, to back off, to cool it. And so we need to be, I give myself to prayer. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Well, here is an incredible quote from Mount of Blessings. And by the way, if you've been touched at all by this sermon, I want to tell you the bulk, well, a large portion of the wonderful book, Mount of Blessings, deals with the Lord's Prayer. And he goes into depth about prayer. And here's one of the quotes. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety, but I don't have it in its entirety on the screen. The disciples had been for a short time absent from their Lord. When on their return, they found him absorbed in communion with God, seemingly unconscious of their presence. Jesus continued praying out loud. The Savior's face was irradiated with a celestial brightness. He seemed to be in the very presence of the unseen, and there was a living power in his words as of one who spoke with God. The hearts of the listening disciples were deeply moved. They had marked how often he spent long hours in solitude in communion with his Father. His days were passed in ministry to the crowd that pressed upon him and in unveiling the treacherous sophistries of the rabbis and his incessant labor often left him so utterly weary that his mothers and brothers and even his disciples had feared that his life would be sacrificed. But as he returned from the hours of prayer that closed the toilsome day, they marked the look of peace upon his face. The sense of refreshment that seemed to pervade his presence. It was from hours spent with God that Jesus came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. And now here it is. The disciples had come to connect his hours of prayer with the power of his words and his work. You got that last sentence? By the way, on the table in the lobby, you will see a blue card. And the blue card on the front, it says, hours spent with God, is partial of that quote and where it's found. And on the back, is another quote that I included from first volume of the testimony that every mother and father should read. The card is on the back table. Because the disciples had come to connect his hours of prayer with the power of his words and his work. How's your prayer life? How's your power in your words and your work? God is calling us to make a concerted commitment to spend time with God. Now I'm going to close with something very special. And that is, there is a song in the hymnal, page 503, that I think you all know, and it's called A Quiet Place. And I've invited Stephanie Bedker to play it on her violin through one time. And by the way, there's only one line, or seven lines, but no verses. It's short. She and Diane are going to play it through one time, and Pastor Neat is going to lead you in singing it through the second time. And when we're done singing it through the second time, I'm going to make a call. And then we're going to sing it again. And I want the words of this beautiful hymn to impact all of us to make a decision for Jesus, to find quiet time every day in which nothing interferes with that appointment with God.
Small or on a mountain top.
Before we sing it through the second time, I want to invite anybody in the congregation today who would like to say to God, you know, I need to do something about this. I want to make a commitment to God to find my quiet place and to make it there every day by the grace of God. If you do, while we sing it through the second time, I want you to come up here. I want my elders to come up here, because if you would like prayer after we have the closing prayer, anything special you want us to pray about, we'll pray with you. And so let's sing it through again, and those that would like to make a commitment to spend that time with God, He's waiting for us every day. And I invite you to come up as we sing the song again.
Father, we praise You and thank You today. Thank You for the example that You showed us, that the example that You set, Lord, that we can do it today, even right now, Lord, that we can have that place, that quiet place, Lord. And those who have decided to come here, Lord, and show that they are willing to dedicate that place and have that special place where they can come and pray and commune with You, Lord. I want to pray for them in a special way, that they will be blessed, that You will inspire them, Lord, that You will guide them and direct them so that they can find that perfect place at the perfect time, Lord. Wake us up at the time that You want us to wake up. And please, Lord, help us to have that special moment with You. Because we want to be closer, Lord. We want to get closer to You. Because the closer we get to You, the more You make us see that You are the one that we need in our life. So, Lord, I believe that You will make us aware of Your presence. Because we decide today, we clearly decide today to have a place just for You and for us to talk and commune together. Thank You, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.